Title: Using Automation to Hide Loop Repetition Advanced. All right, let's level up your drum and bass arrangements in Ableton Live by doing something deceptively simple. Taking a loop that technically works and making it feel like it's alive for 32 bars without rewriting the whole track. Because in DNB, looping is normal. Repetition isn't the problem. Unchanging repetition is the problem. The listener might not consciously know what's missing, but they feel it. Okay, I've heard this exact 2 bars 16 times. Today you're going to fix that with targeted automation. Not random LFO chaos. Not sweep a filter every 4 bars and hope it's exciting. We're going to create microvariation, which is bar-to-bar movement, and macrovariation, which is section-to-section identity. And we'll do it with stock Ableton devices in a way that stays fast, readable, and musical. First, set the foundation. Because automation is not a substitute for writing, set your tempo to the DNB zone, 172 to 176 BPM. Build an honest loop, 2 bars of drums, kick and snare locked, hats doing the groove, a few ghost notes if that's your style. 2 bars of bass, either a res, a sub plus mid, whatever you like, and keep music and FX minimal at first. One stab, one pad, maybe one vocal chop. The point is you want the loop to already be good. Automation's job is to add phrasing and evolution, not to rescue weak material. And here's a big workflow move. Switch to arrangement view early. Session view is great for sketching, but automation decisions are arrangement decisions. DNB is about momentum across phrases. Arrangement view forces you to think like that. Now let's make your automation setup clean, because messy automation kills motivation. Hit it to show automation lanes. Group your tracks. Drums group. Bass group. Music slash FX group. Color code them in a way your brain understands quickly. And here's a teacher tip. Put big story automation on group tracks whenever you can, and keep spice automation on individual tracks. That way, when you come back tomorrow, you can actually read what you did. Also, start thinking in states, not constant motion. Most parameters should have 2 to 4 distinct settings per section. Intro, drop, mid, drop 2. Automate between those states. Continuous wobble often reads as indecision. State changes read as arrangement. Let's start with drums, because drums are where loop fatigue shows up fastest. We'll begin with hi-hats, tiny tone movement that makes them breathe. On your hat track, or your drum top's boss, drop in auto filter, then a light saturator, then utility at the end. Utility is there because any time you brighten something, you're also changing perceived loudness. And we're not doing volume roulette. We're doing controlled variation. Set auto filter to a high pass 12 dB slope. Put the cutoff somewhere around 250 to 600 Hz depending on your hats. Resonance around 0.7 to 1.2. Drive can be 0 to a few dB, but keep it tasteful. Now automate the filter frequency with a very small movement. Think, bar 1 is slightly darker, bar 2 slightly brighter. Not a sweep, more like a breath. And then add tiny resonance ticks right before a fill moment, like just ahead of a snare pickup. Super short bumps, almost like punctuation. Why this works? It imitates a real drummer's subtle change in hat openness, and your brain stops hearing it as a static recording. Next drum move. Drum room movement using reverb send automation, but only on specific hits. Create a return track called drum room. Put hybrid reverb on it. Algorithmic mode. Size maybe 18 to 35%. Decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, high pass the return around 250 to 450 Hz, low pass around 7 to 10 kHz, then add EQ 8 after the reverb and cut lows hard again, because returns love to sneak low mid mud into your mix. Now the important part, automate the send from the snare only. Most of the time, the snare send might live around minus 18 to minus 12 dB, but at the end of a phrase, like bar 4 or bar 8, jump it up. Minus 9 or minus 6 dB. Just for that one snare, you get a little bloom, a little tail that says, we're turning the corner. Optional extra, automate the pre-delay slightly longer right at those phrase ends. It creates a sense of space without washing out the groove. Now let's add weight movement without messing up the kick-bass relationship. Drum bus automation on the drums group. Drop drum bus on the drum group. Set drive somewhere like 5 to 15%. Crunch low unless you really want it. Boom tune to your kick, maybe 40 Hz, maybe 60, depends on the sample. Keep boom amount subtle. Automate boom amount so it's lower in dense moments and slightly higher when things are sparser. And automate drive up by a tiny amount, like 1 or 2%, at transitions like bar 8 or bar 16. That's the kind of energy lift you feel more than you hear. But here's your guardrail. Don't let drum bus automation change the kick sub marriage. Your anchors are non-negotiable. Kick transient, snare crack, sub stability. Automate around them. All right, bass. The rule is, automate character, not just volume. If you haven't already, split your bass into sub and mid. Sub stays boring on purpose. Clean, mono, consistent. No reverb, no width games, no dramatic automation. The mid layer is where your movement lives. On the mid bass, build a stock chain like this. A Q8 for pre-shaping, auto filter for motion, saturator for character, chorus ensemble for texture, and utility at the end for mono management and gain compensation. Set auto filter to low pass 24 dB. Choose a frequency range that makes sense for your patch, maybe 600 Hz up to a few kHz. Resonance somewhere between 0.3 and 0.9. Now pick two or three automation moves, not all of them. This is advanced arranging, not a parameter circus. Option 1. Filter frequency. Do a slow 4-bar ramp opening into the drop. Then within the drop, do tiny dips on bar 2 or bar 4. That creates a nut effect, like the bass leans back for a moment, then returns. Option 2. Resonance spikes. Very short. Think 1/16th to 1/8th note spikes on fill moments. That gives you bite without rewriting the bass line. Option 3. Saturator drive. Increase 1 to 3 dB at the end of phrases so the bass snarls right when you need it. Then compensate with utility gain if it gets louder. Always assume drive changes loudness. Option 4. Chorus ensemble amount. Automate it up in a midsection to make things feel wider and weirder. Then pull it down in the main drop to keep punch and focus. A pro workflow move. Make a 4-bar automation idea, duplicate it, and then change it at the 8 and 16 bar points. If you just duplicate the automation forever, you're back to repeating, just with more steps. Now a sneaky one. Call and response using utility gain automation on the mid bass. Put utility on the mid track. Automate the gain by tiny amounts. Maybe minus 1 dB in the busiest bars. Plus 0.5 dB when there's a pocket. The line feels like it's speaking in phrases even if the MIDI never changes. Next, ear candy. The kind that's controlled, repeatable, and doesn't hijack the mix. Create a noise effects track. Use operator's noise or analog noise. Then auto filter, subtle auto pan, reverb, utility. Every 4 or 8 bars, automate a high pass filter rise for 1 bar leading into a transition. But keep the noise quiet, and automate the utility gain so it kind of ducks in right at the end, instead of sitting there masking your drums the whole time. Think of it like air movement, not a white noise takeover. Now for deliberate fills without messy edits. Beat repeat, but used like a scalpel. Put beat repeat after your main drum processing, either on the drums group or on a dedicated fill bus if you prefer control. Set interval to 1 bar, grid to 1/8 or 1/16th. Variation low, gauge around 60 to 90. And here's the key, chance at 0%, we are not gambling in a drop, we're making decisions. Set mix to 0, and automate it up only for 1 beat at bar 8 or bar 16. Maybe it up to 15 to 35%, then right back down. For extra tension, automate grid from 1/8 to 1/16 for the last half beat. That gives you the stutter into the next phrase. Now let's zoom out. Section identity, macro automation. This is where the exact same loop becomes intro, drop, mid and drop 2, without changing notes. On the music slash FX group, add utility and automate width. Here's a great contrast trick. Intro can be wider, like 120 to 160%, dreamy and spacious. Then for the drop, tighten it to around 90 to 110% so the center hits harder. It feels more forward and aggressive without getting louder. On the drums group, automate drum bus drive slightly up into the drop. On the bass group, automate a subtle low pass opening over the last two bars of the intro. Classic tension builder, but subtle. We're not doing a giant EDM sweep, just enough to say something's coming. Then for the midsection, make it darker and more claustrophobic. A slight low pass on the drums group to dull the top a touch. Shorten reverb decay on your returns so it's drier and more in your face. Add a bit more saturation drive on the bass mid. It should feel like you stepped into a tighter room. Then drop 2 can reopen and feel like a release, even if the MIDI is identical. Now, extra coach concepts that will change how you automate. Use automation shapes that imply intention. A step and hold says new bar, new idea. A short ramp, like an 1/8 to a quarter bar, says gesture or push. A long ramp, like 2 to 8 bars, says narrative. If you keep a limited vocabulary of these shapes, Your automation reads like arrangement, not like fiddling. Also, make automation readable for future you. Use locators. If there is a one-time moment, label it. Bar 33, snare bloom plus repeat. You'll thank yourself later when you're doing revisions. Now, an advanced variation trick, and B space crossfading. Make two return tracks. Clean space, short, bright room, dirty space, darker plate with a bit of saturation. Then automate your drum sends to crossfade between them across phrases. Bars 1 to 4, more clean, less dirty. Bars 5 to 8, less clean, more dirty. The samples didn't change, but the environment changed. That's huge for hiding repetition. Another advanced concept, negative automation. Sometimes the best variation is removal. For two beats, pull down a hat high shelf. Reduce reverb send for the first snare of every four bars. Narrow the stereo briefly on off beats. The ear hears these as edits, which kills the copy-paste vibe instantly. And it keeps your big moments feeling special. One more, one parameter per bar in busy drops. If everything is slamming, don't move everything at once. Rotate focus. Bar 1. Hat's brightness. Bar 2. Snare space. Bar 3. Mid-bass bite. Bar 4. A fill moment. Then repeat the rotation with slight changes. This keeps the mix stable while still evolving. Now let's do the practical exercise. This is where you actually learn it. Build a 2-bar loop. Kick and snare, hats, res. Duplicate it out to 32 bars. Then you're allowed exactly 10 automation moves total across the whole 32 bars. 3 moves on drums, maybe hat filter, snare reverb send bloom, drum bus drive. 3 moves on bass, filter, drive, width. 2 moves on effects, noise filter rise, noise gain duck in. 2 moves on fills, beat repeat mix moments or a short send spike. Keep the automation clean. Fewer points, better curves, no point spam. Then render it. And listen without looking at the screen. This is important. If you can identify the 8-bar phrases just by listening, your automation is telling a story. Bonus challenge. Remove 2 automation moves. If it still feels alive, you pick the right moves. If it falls apart, you were relying on the wrong ones. Let's recap the core philosophy so you can reuse this on every track. This audio version is shortened for playback.